Good morning, church. My name is Patrick Bowerman, and I, first off, am super thankful to be able to preach the Word of God to you this morning, but I was also thinking on the way up here that there is no place I would rather be this morning than here with you. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful to the Lord that He has gathered us together to hear His Word proclaimed today. We're going to be studying in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. If you want to flip there in your Bibles to when we're going to read in a few minutes, that would be great. Last week, we wrapped up our final message on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, we've been spending many weeks being encouraged and challenged and humbled and pointed to the need of a Savior to meet the requirements of holiness that God requires. And as the end of Matthew 7 states, the people who heard Jesus teaching, at this sermon, they were amazed because Jesus was teaching as one who had authority, not as the scribes taught. Jesus wasn't citing other authorities to give strength to His interpretation of the law. He was speaking as the one who made the law itself. And so in the next several weeks, we're going to see that Jesus' miracles in these next stories authenticate His teachings. He's going to punctuate His words with demonstrations of power to show that He truly is the Savior of the world. So as He teaches with authority and power, He's going to back that up with works of healing and miracles. Having taught this message on the mountain, Jesus returns to what He was doing before He went up the mountain. And if you remember back from Matthew chapter 4, verses 23, it says this: Jesus was teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. And great crowds followed Him. So that's what it was like going up and coming down. It's going to be very similar. Jesus' healing show the inbreaking of the kingdom of God into this world. He is making right the things that have been corrupted by sin. He's not turning the world upside down. He's actually turning the world right side up by His demonstrations of power and of love. His healings point to the reality that one day the effects of sin will be undone. That those who have been separated from God, those who are outcast from their homeland and from their families, will one day be restored by the blood of the Lamb. His healings show that those who are defiled by the corruption of sin are made clean by the incorruptible blood of the Lamb of God. So what better story to start with to see this idea of healing than the story of the leper? This leper is both unclean and he is an outcast. And we're going to see through this message that Jesus has come to cleanse the defiled. And He's come to restore the outcast. He's come to clean those that are unclean. He's come to bring back, to go fetch those who are outside the camp. He's bringing them back. And so praise the Lord, we're going to see that in this message today. And so I would just ask if you would pray with me, just for the Lord to lead our time. Father, I thank You. Thank You for Your word. I thank You for this story being true. Lord, I don't know the situations that each of us come into this room with today, God, but You do. Lord, I'm confident that some are joyful in what You've been doing in their life and they're rejoicing this morning, and others, I'm sure, have been having a hard week or a hard month. Father, they're struggling with sin and struggling with shame and other things, Lord. I pray this morning that You would help us to see Your grace, that we would see You clearly, that, Lord, You make us clean. You are the one who restores, God. It's through Your blood that we are made righteous. And so, Father, I pray that You would be glorified in this message and that You would encourage us to see You most clearly. Help us to see You as our good Father who loves us, Lord. Jesus, let us see You as our Savior and Spirit. Please just prompt us as we hear this word. Please implant it in our hearts. And I love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to read from Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4. If you haven't flipped there, go ahead and turn there now. I'll give you just a moment. Hear the word of the Lord, brothers and sisters. When He, Jesus, came down from the mountain, great crowds followed Him. And behold, a leper came to Him and knelt before Him, saying, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." And so as we see in this story, the leper runs to Jesus. There's a great need for the leper. That's where we're going to begin today as we talk about this passage. We're going to see the need of the leper. And so as we hear in verse 1, Jesus comes down from the mountain with great crowds who were following him. These crowds would have been enamored with his teaching and excited about his miracles. They wanted to see his power and his majesty. They wanted to see what he was going to do. They want to be near him. But coming down the mountain, something unthinkable happens. A leper comes up to Jesus and bows before him and asks him to heal him. And while this might not seem like that remarkable of a thing for us today, we need to understand the backdrop of the leper's plight. In Leviticus 13, we hear that leprosy is a disease of the skin. It's not necessarily a specific diagnosis, but it could stand in for a variety of skin diseases of the day. But when one had leprosy, the toll it wreaked on your body was immense. Not only did the disease cause painful sores to break out, you know, your skin could rot on the bodies of the sick, but also in some cases it led to the loss of feeling in your extremities. So you could end up losing fingers and toes and even limbs because you injured them and didn't even know it because you couldn't feel it. But a far greater cost was paid by the leper than just a physical problem. The leper was an outcast. They were separated from the people of Israel, their brothers and sisters, because of this disease. In Leviticus 13, verses 45 through 46, which is on the screen, listen to how it describes the leper and the need of the leper. "The leprous person who has this disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and he shall cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease." He is unclean. "He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So the leper was sent outside the camp to live a life of isolation and fear and shame. They were defined by their illness so much so that their appearance was to show everyone else that they had this disease. Their hair was to hang loose on their heads. They had to wear torn clothing that signified their sickness. They might as well have been holding a sign that said, "Keep away. Danger. Do not come close. Don't come near to me." Their appearance showed outwardly what they suffered from internally. But it wasn't just their clothing that had a message. The leper themselves had to cry. They had to say, "Unclean. Unclean. Don't come near to me. Stay away as far as you can. I don't want you to have what I have. Stay away." When they were anywhere near someone else who was not a leper, they would cry out these words. And they had to keep doing this for as long as they bore the sickness, which meant that they were cut off from fellowship with God's people and full participation in Israel's worship of God. Can you imagine having to hear those words about yourself every day? Or having to cry out those words every day when someone, if anyone, even came too close? "Unclean. Stay away. Don't come near to me." How would you feel about yourself knowing that you're not able to make yourself clean on your own? There's no cure that you can buy. There's no work that you can perform to free you from this sickness. There's nothing you can do on your own. You're totally dependent upon God to deliver you. You see, leprosy was a disease that didn't just affect the flesh, but it affected the whole person. Lepers were the ultimate outsider. And because they were so contagious, they weren't able to even touch another person until they were healed. Not a soul could they touch. And I was trying to think of some example where I've been around something that even approximates just being worried about sickness. And the best thing that I thought of was a few years ago, Catherine and me and our kids went to Florida to go down to Disney World with our family. And so we rented a nice house. It was with Kat's side of the family. So there were multiple rooms. We go to Disney for the first few days. It's really fun. We have a great time. But then on the second or the third day, My brother-in-law's mom, her name is Ginger, she was there with us too. She comes downstairs and I could tell that something was bothering her. And she looks upset and she sits down at the table and she says, "This morning when I woke up, I looked on my arm and there were bugs, bed bugs, crawling on me." Right? And in the night they bit me, right? And so she's telling this story and you can see shame or just the embarrassment of this having happened. And because of that, you know, we call obviously the bug people, we call the homeowners, tell them what happened, but we're going to Disney that day. So we basically get our stuff and we leave and we come back and the bug people say, "Hey, good news. We caught it. It was isolated to her room alone." And so, you know, that's great for us, but poor Ginger, all of her stuff was in that room. Her bag, all of her clothes was there. You know, so she's worried about, like, am I going to be able to take my clothes with me? I don't want to get these in my car. I don't want to transfer this to my house. And so their recommendation was, you need to get rid of your clothes. All of your stuff. You're going to have to burn it or just get rid of it. We'll give you money to buy new ones. But all of that was tainted. And she described it, you know, feeling like kind of dirty and unclean. There was this, like, this feeling about the situation. It wasn't her fault. It's just what happened. You see, while we, you know, if you have something like this happen, you clean yourself off, you can get new clothes, you can try to treat your house. But for the leper, he couldn't be clean in the same way. They're the ones that bear the infection on themselves. There's no cure for them. You know, they had to be sent out so that no further infections could spread to others. They couldn't treat their clothes and come back in. They themselves were cast out, isolated, alone. They had to be removed from everybody else. And so think about this. This man who comes up to Jesus, he may not have felt the touch of another person for a year, or maybe 2 years, maybe 10 years. This man would have had no friendly handshakes given to him. You know, no high fives, no fist bumps, no, you know, head patting, no arm around the shoulder in consolation. Frankly, he probably felt like he had no hope. And if he was a father, he would have been cut off from his children and his wife. He couldn't bend down if his child even wanted to and embrace them and give them a hug. And he couldn't embrace his spouse. Never again would he be able to do that unless the Lord healed him. This is why the leper was considered to be under the wrath of God, because the consequences of their sickness led to them being totally cut off from everything that was important. And there was no cure outside of the Lord bringing healing. Hence the desperation of the leper to breach all of the proper customs and keeping away from everyone. And he goes directly to the only person who can do anything about his situation. He goes to Jesus and he says, "Lord, if you will, make me clean." And I can just imagine the crowds as this leper's coming down and he's saying, "Unclean, unclean." I can imagine they're spreading out all over the place as fast as they can get away from this leper. They want to be gone because they don't want to catch his disease. But guess what? What do we see about Jesus? He doesn't flee. He doesn't run away. He isn't afraid of the one who is declared unclean under the law. He allows him to come. He wants him to come. And even as we look more at this passage, do you notice what the leper says? He doesn't say, "If you can heal me, would you make me clean?" He says, "If you will, you can make me clean." The leper seems to have a faith that Jesus is actually able to remove this disease and the stigma of the disease from him. He doesn't doubt Jesus' ability to heal, but instead he entrusts himself to Jesus to do what he thinks is right. He's not asking also to be cured. He's actually asking to be cleansed. This is a far greater concern of the leper, for he wants to be restored to fellowship with God and God's people. He wants to be able to go home. He wants to be able to see his family and his friends. He wants to be restored so that he can worship God with God's people like us this morning. And so something he cannot do, though, is that. He can't do any of that while he's defiled by his leprosy. And he wants to be able to live among his people, not as an outcast, but as a brother. And so this is why he asked to be made clean over just being cured. He wants restoration and not just healing. And so I think the leper, in his response, it's very similar to how we pray. We know that the Lord can heal our sickness and he can change our situation. But we always have to entrust ourselves under the sovereign hand of the Lord, because it is the Lord's will sometimes for us to continue in that struggle. And so we pray, Lord, if it be your will, would you bring healing? Would you remove this from us? Do you identify with the leper here who brings his request to God in humility? Have you cried out to the Lord for healing to help you in your sickness or in your suffering? Maybe you've asked the Lord to heal a disease that you've been suffering from, that you've been fighting. Maybe you've been asking the Lord to give you relief from pain or an injury that you've suffered. Maybe it's an old wound. You know, when the Lord says yes, what do? We give him praise and we give him glory and we desire to point people to his goodness and his faithfulness. But what about when the Lord says no? What's our response then? The response should be the same, right? To point to his goodness and faithfulness and to proclaim the glories of him as well. Paul expresses a similar idea in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9. So he says, this is Paul. He says, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's times when the Lord says, no, I'm not going to heal you because I want to demonstrate my power in you through your weakness. I want you to bring glory and honor to me in the midst of this. I want you to learn to trust me in the midst of your suffering. And so there's times when he says, I'm not going to bring healing at this moment. And while we aren't promised healing for our sicknesses and our struggles necessarily today or in this life, we hope in the reality that we will have an ultimate healing of everything that afflicts us when we go to be with the Lord. That is our hope, brothers and sisters. A day is coming when sin will be no more, when our bodies don't get sick and creak with age, where cancer is eradicated along with things like depression and Alzheimer's and rebellion and war and famine. When we cry out for healing, Jesus will ultimately answer our prayers with a healing greater than we can possibly imagine. It just may not be today, but it will be on that day. When we long for true fellowship, brothers and sisters, when we long to be restored, we will always have fellowship with the Lord and his people if we are in Christ. If we come to Jesus in faith, he will never cast us out. And in salvation, he will make us clean. And so if we come to Jesus as a sinner desiring salvation, he will save us when we come to him right then and there. But if we come to him with pains and sufferings as we walk out our Christian life, he may say, you know, I will heal you, but it's going to be on the day when you go to be with me, and ultimately on the day of his return and in glory. But brothers and sisters, Jesus desires for the leper to come. He desires for the leper to come to him to be restored and to be made clean. And so we see the need of the leper coming to Jesus. And then we're going to see here in the second part of this passage, starting in verse 2 and 3, we're going to see the touch of the Savior. And I want you to know, I love this story. I love this passage, because in it you see the love of Jesus for his people. In particular, you see the love of Jesus for the outcast and for the lowly and for the hurting. When everyone else around him would have fled at the hearing of the leper's cries, Jesus doesn't run. He doesn't flee from the one who is sick and hurting, but he allows that man to come to him, and he has compassion on him. But what I love most about this story, the thing that I love most, is that Jesus' response to the leper is so unexpected. The leper says, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, full of compassion and care for this hurting man, he does the most remarkable thing. The passage tells us that Jesus stretches out his hand and he touches him. And he says, I will be clean. Think about this. He reaches out and he touches the leper. He touches the man who has not felt the touch of another person in so long. how kind and gracious of Jesus to not only heal the man from his defilement, but to do it in the way that would have been most meaningful to him. Do you see this? In the very next passage, we see Jesus is able to heal the centurion's servant by a spoken word. So why here with the leper does he reach down and touch him? Why does he do this? It's because he loves the leper. Jesus knows what the law demanded of the leper, to be cut off from everyone. And Jesus reaches down specifically to restore him. I can imagine him even giving him a hand and lifting him up. What a kindness of the Lord, brothers and sisters. He reaches down and touches us when we are unclean. When we are defiled by sin and the stink of rot, he reaches out his hands and he makes us clean. Do you see the character of our God here? He sees the hurting. He touches the untouchable here. And he makes clean that which is thought to be utterly ruined. This is our God, brothers and sisters. He is the one who has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows. He is the one who was pierced for our transgressions and was crushed for our iniquities, as Isaiah 53 verses 4 through 5 say. He is the one who has ultimately stretched out his hands to make us clean. But he doesn't do it with just a touch. He does it by stretching out his arms on the cross. See, it's at the cross that we are ultimately purified. It's at the cross that we are most fully and supremely, where Jesus most fully and supremely takes our sin upon himself and gives to us his holiness and righteousness by covering us by his blood. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, he made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." How amazing this statement is. It's through Christ we might become, or we become, the righteousness of God. So brothers and sisters, do you feel alone in your trouble? You know, do you feel isolated? Maybe like you're an outcast even in your own family? Does your past sin haunt you, crying out daily or weekly? Liar, unfaithful, hypocrite, unlovable. Do you feel defiled by your own sin? Or maybe do you bear the sin and shame of defilement that someone else committed against you? Do you bear shame for that? We've been seeing that all over the news lately where men have been abusing women and leading them in all sorts of ways to bear this reproach. Does this defilement seek to identify you and define you as dirty and unclean, used, ruined, abandoned? See, brothers and sisters, Jesus reaches out to touch us here in these places. This is why Jesus came. He came to cleanse those who are defiled by sin. He came to restore rebels and outcasts to the Father. Came to make us clean. Luke 19:10 tells us that Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and save the lost. He came to rescue you and to cleanse you and to restore you to right relationship with God and his people. As Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It doesn't matter what you struggle with, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter what sickness you suffer from. Christ is able to cure you and to cleanse you. Have you called out to him for rescue? Have you run to him like the leper does in this passage? If you're a non-believer, I would encourage you to come to Christ while he may be found. He desires you to come to him and be restored and to be cleansed. But brothers and sisters, also in our weakness, in our shame, in our fear as believers, Jesus wants us to come as well. And as we look at our passage, as we look at the text, we see that Jesus doesn't seem in the least bit concerned about catching the sickness of the leper or becoming unclean himself. According to Leviticus chapter 5, verse 3, Jesus should have become unclean the moment he touched the leper. But Jesus touching the leper doesn't make him unclean. Rather, it cleanses the man that he touches. Jesus is not able to be corrupted by the leper's sickness because Jesus is utterly holy. Corruption cannot touch him, but is in fact cleansed by him because of who he is. And there's a quote up on the screen I'm going to put up. This is by Bill and Carson. I love the way they describe it. They said it this way: holiness and not impurity proves contagious. As Jesus touches us, he gives to us holiness. He justifies us by his blood. He makes us holy. We don't contaminate him. He makes us clean. And so when Jesus touches the leper, it shows us that he is willing to take our impurities upon himself. And this picture of Jesus with the leper is pointing to a future day when Jesus was going to go to the cross and ultimately make a way for all who would trust in him to fully be clean and covered. This is how Jesus ultimately cleanses us. He dies in our place to pay our debt, and he covers us by his blood, making us whiter than snow. And so at the cross, Jesus declares in his battle against sin and death and hell, it is finished. The power of sin and death have been defeated once and for all. And the resurrection is the proof that he can grant you cleansing because his sacrifice for sins was accepted by God. So brothers and sisters, Jesus is able to heal you, not just of physical wounds, but of spiritual ones as well. He's able to make even the vilest sinner clean and pure. So let us run to him like the leper does and receive grace and mercy. So here we see the touch of Jesus as he loves this leper. And the last thing we see in this passage is we see the restoration of the leper. After Jesus cleanses him, as you look in verse 3 at the end and then verse 4, after Jesus cleanses the leper by touching him and telling him to be clean, it says that the leper is immediately healed and cleansed. There's no more taint of leprosy anywhere on him, but Jesus doesn't want to stop with just healing. You know, he doesn't want the man just moving on. He wants to see this man who has been an outcast, who has been hurting, and who has been separated from all that he loves. He wants to see him restored. And so in verse 4, he says, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." I think this is very, you know, I think he's encouraging him in a very particular way because it's very easy for us to get distracted. You can just think about your own life when you've sat down for a day to be dedicated to spending time with the Lord, or you want to spend some time in the Word, or maybe you're going on a retreat. How easy it is to be distracted by the concerns of the day, to not do the very thing you thought you were going to do. I think Jesus is saying, go to the priest now to be restored. Go quickly so that you will be as quickly as you can restored back to me. Some scholars are going to say that Jesus is telling the man to do this so that he's not going to be hindered in his ministry going forward. You know, they're saying that Jesus doesn't want people to gather around him as just some kind of sideshow spectacle. And that may be partially true because in Mark 1:45, we hear the leper doesn't obey Jesus. It's not in our text, but it's in the Mark passage. It says that he shares what happened to him, and he goes out and begins to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. But he was in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. And so that maybe that was part of it, but I think ultimately the reason he tells him to go is so that he can be restored quickly. Not to keep it a secret. He's not trying to do that, but he wants this man restored. And so I believe that Jesus is showing great care for this man's well-being, and he wants him to go and be seen by the priest. For it's the priest, according to Leviticus 14, who is to examine the leper and see that he's been healed and declares him to be clean. So Jesus isn't trying to keep it a secret that he healed the leper, for the priest is surely going to ask him, "How is it that you were made clean?" And he's going to say, "Jesus healed me." So he's not trying to keep it secret, but instead, Jesus wants him to make a beeline to the priest so that he is restored back to the community as quickly as possible. So he's reunited with the people of God and even his own family. See, the priest would see that it was God's work of healing. And after that, the leper, you know, as he holds up to the scrutiny and examination, this leper is declared clean when he goes to the priest. And after being declared clean, the leper offers appropriate sacrifices to the Lord. He's going to offer a sin offering and a guilt offering and a burnt one and a grain offering. And he's to be bathed and clothed, and he's to be washed. And then it says he has to shave off all of his head, and he has to shave off his beard, and he even has to shave off his eyebrows. And I think that's kind of a cool picture, because if you see someone walking around with no eyebrows, you're going to say, what's going on? And this guy's going to say, I've been healed by Jesus. My leprosy is gone. He has made me clean and pure. And so Jesus sends him there to be restored. He came to restore and to clean. But one of the things that we see in this ritual with the leper, going through the cleansing process, is that there was a greater cleansing that needed to take place. And there's a better offering that needs to be made for the atonement of sins. All of these sacrifices and offerings that were offered for these lepers with the priests, they were pointing to the need of a Savior who could actually deal with the spiritual uncleanness and spiritual leprosy that all mankind endures. For we all are born in the condition of being enemies of God because of our sin. We all are outcasts and rebels who suffer with the consequences of the defilement of our sin. We're all unclean. All of us are needing of being made pure and clean. But herein is the beauty of this passage. For all who come to Jesus in faith and cry out for mercy will receive it. When we come to Jesus ravaged by guilt and shame and the weight of our sin, he reaches out and he touches us. He takes our sin upon himself, and he in turn clothes us in his righteousness. You know, as we give to him our garments that are tattered and filthy and signifying our leprosy, he takes them upon himself. And then what kind of garments does he give us? Clean, pure robes dipped in the blood of the Lamb, the robes of his righteousness he covers us in. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2:13. You who were exiled, you who were Gentiles, you who were far off from God, outcasts, he has brought near by the blood of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we who come to Christ in our filthy garments, unclean because of the defilements of our sin, we are brought near by the blood of Christ. No longer outcasts, but members of God's family. No longer filthy and defined by our sin, but we are made clean and defined by his righteousness. Though Satan accuses us, and he does, the blood of Christ speaks a better word for us. Though our sins or the enemy might declare you to be filthy, by the resurrection of Jesus, we know that his holiness has prevailed. The resurrection declares to the whole of creation that there is a way of cleansing and healing that is open to all who would come to the Lord and can be made clean. God has won the victory, and holiness and righteousness has prevailed, brothers and sisters. Our sin and our shame and our uncleanliness has been defeated and overcome by our Savior's completed work. There is no shame. There is no defilement that can withstand the holiness that God gives to us when we believe. None of it. And because it is the very righteousness of Christ counted to us, as God sees you, he sees the righteousness of Christ in you. So when God himself, the judge, the true judge, declares you clean, then you can be confident that it is true. So as we wrap up, still as you sit in your seats, do you fear that one day you will be rejected when God ultimately examines you? You know, you think about this picture of the priest and the leper examining him. Do you think that when God examines you, you're going to be found to be dirty and defiled and unclean? Deep down, do you really doubt that God loves you and cares about you? Do you fear that you will be kept as an outsider far from the Lord and his people because of the terrible nature of your sins? Brothers and sisters, if we place our faith in Jesus, we are not kept at a distance, but we are beckoned to draw near to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16. Where you once were called unclean, Jesus' blood now proclaims a better word over you. He says that you are free and holy and accepted. You are redeemed. You are my beloved. You are clean. This is what his blood proclaims over us. where you once bore the marks of sin and defilement in your body, you will receive a glorified body one day when he returns that is whole and perfect and that lasts forever, that has no defilement and no spot and will never die again. Brothers and sisters, if we come to Jesus in faith, like the leper, Jesus will certainly not turn us away or cast us out, but he will save us to the uttermost. He will restore what has been broken. He will cleanse us whiter than snow. The outcasts have been made sons and daughters because God sent his son to be an outcast in our place. Where we were sent outside the camp, Jesus goes outside of the camp to rescue us. And where we were under the curse of sin, Jesus becomes a curse for us so that we might be free forever to glorify and praise his name. Brothers and sisters, he stretches out his hands, and he touches us because he loves us. Jesus came to cleanse the defiled, to make us clean and pure. And he comes to restore the outcast, to bring us back from where we were outside the camp. He brings us close to where we dwell with him forever. So let us glorify and praise his great name. For all who come to Christ are clean and pure and righteous. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's true, God. Thank you that it's true. Lord, we rejoice to know that our Savior is raised from the dead as proof that if we are united with him in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection like his God. Lord, the resurrection proves that he is the Messiah. And so, Lord, we rejoice to know that Jesus, our great hope, can save, can cleanse, can restore. And so, Lord, I pray that any of your people today, if they're struggling, if they're feeling the heaviness of their own sin, Lord, please encourage them to come to you. Lord, let them respond in faith. And I pray ultimately that you would let faith arise in them and joy arise in their hearts as they reflect upon the goodness of their Savior. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.